Blog Talk Radio.
I'm walking through life in nature's disguise.
All right. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello there, my darlings. It is another glorious Wednesday, and you know what time it is. So get your crumpets together, baby, because it's time to dish tea. And you are dishing tea with Big Meat. Hello to all of my tea sippers out there. Ooh, thank you for all of your love and your support. If you're tuning in right now and wish to dish your tea with me, honey, call in at 347-205-9183. Once again, that's 347-205-9183. Now, hello to all of you over there that are in the tea room. I just opened it up, so if you're listening, you go ahead on over there and get some things started. Just make sure that you dish tea responsibly over there, okay? I don't want you guys, you know, huffing and puffing and about to blow down the damn thing or whatever. Just dish responsibly, and we can keep everything moving. We're in the holiday season, so happy holidays to all of you. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa to all of you. And, of course, Happy New Year. We're on the precipice of going into 2010. And I'm excited about it because, darling, I'm turning 40, and I'm holding my banner proud. I'm welcoming all of that to come on up in here. And we're going to sock it to the kids, honey, okay? Now, let me do my disclaimer here. This show is for mature audiences, and the language and subject matters are not appropriate for children or anyone who is not mature enough to handle the subject matters. Your listening discretion is advised. Again, your listening discretion is advised. We would like to take this time to say thank you to all of our sponsors who support Dishing Tea and what we're all about. Trade Day Management and PR firm at Trade Day. Enjoy your touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal. For all of your public relations and entertainment management needs, contact Trevion Davenport at 678-523-3088. Once again, 678-523-3088. Or email her at tradeaypr at gmail.com. That was my cell phone. At tradeaypr at gmail.com. TREADAY. PR at gmail.com. Also, we would like to thank Pharaoh's Treasure Box. Pharaoh's Treasure Box, for all of your design needs, contact them. They are fine art, unique jewelry, and sensational 3D silk floral arrangements, creations by Taps. Again, for all of your decorative needs, contact Pharaoh's Treasure Box at 248-688-5178 or 5179. Or you can email them at pharaohstreasurebox@comcast.net. pharaohstreasurebox@comcast.net. Parisian Wine Productions, music to enlighten your spirits and lift your soul, specializing in gospel inspirational house and dance music. For production needs, contact Paris Harrison. He's the CEO at paris42268@yahoo.com. Once again, Paris42268@yahoo.com. Also, we would like to thank C-Train Productions. You're aboard the right train for all of your entertainment needs with C-Train Productions. Omar Casserly is the CEO and founder. For all of your casting, producing, and production needs, contact Omar at www.ctrainproductions.com. Once again, www.ctrainproductions.com. Also, I would like to thank Life Fellowship of Christ Ministries. Life Fellowship of Christ Ministries. Live in freedom everywhere. L-I-F-E. Reverend James Coleman is the leader and founder of the Ecumenical Social Justice Ministries, brought forth to free the oppressed and introducing a fresh approach to the Christ consciousness. Contact Reverend Coleman at mustardcole@yahoo.com. Once again, mustardcole@yahoo.com. Our services are held at the Woodbridge Estates Clubhouse, 4106 Supremes Drive, Detroit, Michigan, 48201. Services are held at 12 noon. For more information, contact 313-833-9278. Thank you to all of my sponsors. I do have a special announcement from Trade Day Management. Today, if you are in the Atlanta area, over at the Greenbrier Mall at 4 o'clock p.m. today, you can go over there and meet Mr. Young Ralph, a.k.a. the Jug Man, Mr. Juglander. He's going to be over there celebrating the holidays with his homegirl and favorite jeweler, Shabu, during her grand opening today at the Greenbrier Mall, starting at 4 o'clock p.m. So he's going to be there. He's going to be taking pictures with his fans, signing autographs. He has his new mixtape, The Jug Man and the Sequel, hosted by DJ. So you guys, if this is your man, honey, you want to get out there to go support him over at the Greenbrier Mall today at 4 p.m., honey. So take your cameras, take your mixtapes, go buy a mixtape. He's doing some giveaways and signings and things, so that there will be lovely. Also, a special announcement from Pharaoh's Treasure Box that we're preparing for the 2010 FIMO Artist Show. We're looking for artists, we're looking for vendors, and we're looking to get this thing off the ground. Our charity this year that we're going to be supporting is the Uplifting Communities Outreach Program from the True Faith Ministries of God Church. So for more information, make sure that you contact Pharaoh's Treasure Box, okay? So now I'm getting a little tongue-tied, and I want to make sure that everything gets on and running. Now, let me do this. I want to preface the show because I titled this, Not a Perfect Man, But Still Dreaming. So let me play the title track. Y'all listen to this for just a moment.
Cause I survived the pain, and thanks to you, to love, my soldier.
Well, all right, there you have it. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm still dreaming. Today's show is dedicated to my guest, Mr. Christopher Williams. I'm waiting for him to still call in. He's been having a couple of problems, and his schedule has apparently been double booked or something. So as we're waiting for him to call in, we're going to move forward and keep things going. As you all know, honey, we're 2 days before Christmas. And, you know, I just put in the tea room, honey. How many of y'all is done with your shopping and things? I'm not. I don't shop anymore. Okay. Though I have nieces and nephews, honey, who are still of age that appreciate, you know, the Santa and the this, that, and the other. Okay, hot boy in the tea room said he don't do any either. So okay, so we're in the same boat. When I shop, I always shop in January and February when everything goes on sale for real. That way I'm not fighting with anyone, I'm not doing, you know, I can find some cutesy little things, honey. I can find some decent things, maybe a little bit off season, but who cares about seasons, honey? I just want it cute, want it to be inexpensive, and want it to be abundant, if you will. Because please, child, I just had this conversation with my coworker. She was sitting up talking about her children and you know, what they wanted for Christmas, and you know, the one, her little boy wanted a Wii game, and somebody else wanted something else, and she got to total up, well, that's $200 here, and that's $90 there, and this is this. And they just got expensive taste. And I said, sweetie, did they earn that? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She said, what do you mean earn it? I said, did they earn that? And she was stuck. I said, if they did not earn it, then why are you going through all these particular changes, honey, of wanting to break your neck, go into debt to buy all this garbage? You know, particularly at this time of the year when everybody knows how kids are, honey, that stuff is, you know, whistles and flags and carrying on right now. But, you know, 2 or 3 days later, possibly 2 weeks maximum, if it ain't toe up, it's going to be sitting in the corner somewhere. They're going to forget about it and go hit on and go back to playing with their little made-up toy with the oatmeal box they're carrying on that they've been doing years and years ago. So why would you go through all these changes? And she looked at me. She said, well, you know, that's just how I was brought up. You know, whatever the kids want for Christmas, that's what you get. I said, child, then if you're going to buy it, ain't no need of you complaining about the shit. I don't want to hear about your damn money problems if you're going to go ahead on and buy it, because it doesn't make sense. You ain't going to complain about the prices and then go end up buying it anyway and then want to sit up there and say, oh, well, I can't control it and this, that, and other. That there's a bunch of bullshit, and I'm not going to subscribe to that. So, you know, let me get your take on it, honey. Y'all talk to me about this holiday season, and see, I'm kind of feel jaded, you know, towards it, because I have been a bell ringer with the Salvation Army. I did that for 6 years in the cold. And see, mind you, I'm from Detroit, and being back home, anybody who knows, you know, the Midwest and knows about snow and coldness and carrying on, Michigan is one of the worst. Okay, so standing, and mind you, standing outside, wrapped and bundled up, you know, ringing this bell, honey. See, I'm a singer and carrying on, so in order to entertain myself, I was singing, you know, dance around a little bit and carrying on, honey, you know, being a little bit entertaining, more so for myself than for anybody else, so that I could stay warm and I wouldn't be bored, you know, or become catatonic to the sound of the damn bell. Well, as I was doing all that with these children, I realized that this is the time where the ones who truly are in need always end up getting the short end of the stick because the greedy ass folks always beat them to it. I was so upset. One year we were ringing the bells, and this wasn't at the corps that I was working with. This was another corps that was on the east side of Detroit, the Harding Corps. One year, they had to call the police because the folks got to fighting over the damn little vouchers that you're getting for free. Okay? They had to call they had to call the police because the folks got upset because they didn't think it was enough. Now, folks don't understand that at Christmas time and when it's time for that kettle season, that is when the Salvation Army does its, that's their major fundraiser, okay? So that's when they make most of their money, is during that time. So that money has to last them until the next year, okay? And folks don't get that. I had a woman cuss me out at the kettle stand and gonna tell me that she wasn't giving no money because she went to the Salvation Army to ask them to help her with her light bill, and they told her they didn't have no damn money, and I know you getting the cut of it, and this, that, and the other, so fuck y'all. And you know, of course, we have to remain professional. And I was about to come out of a bag and you know, just do away with her because that there I felt personally attacked. I was like, Miss Thing, you don't know what the hell it is I'm doing. I'm out here under the kindness of my heart. I'm a volunteer, okay? And I do this because this is part of what I do for my benevolence to the community. You know, this is not the only thing that was just a part of it. And I felt personally attacked because those words hit hard. And like I told her, if you're not mad with me, you're mad at the core. I said, I'll give you the telephone number so where you can voice your opinion. Now, fuck that telephone number because I'm coming to you. You're the one that's out here. And that's when I wanted to take off my earrings, honey, my good earrings, and put some Vaseline on and whoop this bitch's ass because it wasn't me that you're mad at. Okay. Now, if you really want to know how it works, I'm telling you, you need to come on up in here and find out. So, since that particular time, during those years, I have become very jaded with the whole idea of the commercialized Christmas. You know, I've never been one who really, you know, liked the idea that it's become so commercial. And, you know, we focus so much on wanting to spend all this kind of money to keep everybody happy. And now it's gotten to a point where we do it just because we feel we're supposed to do it. And the kids ain't earned nothing. Parents don't know how to be parents anymore. They just give, 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 and give. And there's nothing there. So, I mean, please, working, I told y'all before, I used to work in the alternative high school. And all of those kids in there were between the ages of 16 and 21. So at 15, 16 years old, these kids coming up in there where they got $400 BlackBerry phones. And the daddy that went out and bought them, you know, a $2,500 meat jacket and shit. So, you know, what did you do to earn this? Are you getting poor grades in school to where you done got kicked out of school and got to come to an alternative school? You know, and then the little babies are learning from these little trifling-ass fuckers because they're the ones having the little kids. So the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren are all coming up in this materialistic world. And every time at Christmas, it's always this effort is put forth to outdo what you did last year, if you will, or outdo the neighbors and carrying on the, you know. So it becomes unnerving. So let me hear let me hear your comments. So if you have any, give me a call. You can call in at 347-205-9183. Once again, 347-205-9183. Over here in the tea room, honey, the kids are saying that girlfriend, she said that Good News Notebook, she said that was just an excuse not to give because if your heart wants to give it, if your heart wants to give, it will. Okay, whatever that is. Exactly. Be it a penny, be it $5, exactly. If your heart is in it, it's going to tell you what to do, and it's going to instruct you. So I agree with that. And Hot Boy 1800 said, but the toys were not $200 back in the day. So she can go back. So she can go to the back with that, honey. Okay. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. And then they may not have been at that cost back in the day, but the value was what that was. And see, back when we were kids, we had to earn all that. You know, it wasn't like, you know, just because we said we wanted it and carried on that our parents went and made sure that we got it. No. You know, you had to earn that. And this is not just, you know, the one gift that you got at the end of the year. You know, my parents, well, when they were together, you know, they shopped for us throughout the year. You know, as we, you know, completed our chores or this, that, and other, and they felt that we deserved some me time. And that's what it was, because the parents were in control of our me time. You know, they would, you know, give us little toys and, you know, the special ice cream that we liked and, you know, all of that just as a token of showing their love for us. But you still had to be on top of your jazz. Now, mind you, when we got it, whenever we did not do our chores or whatever, we were not allowed to play with that particular toy, you know, or whatever, because it was because they had to hit it where they knew our hearts were. Our hearts was in the little toy. So, okay, no, we're going to leave that alone. Okay, no, you don't get that today. And this, that, and the other. You know, same as you know, if you cut up or whatever, you didn't get no dessert after dinner. Okay, dinner was what you're supposed to get, but you don't get no dessert. Okay, you're not going to get the cookies or the ice cream and the cake and candy. No, honey, you're not going to be rewarded for bad behavior. So that there was that. So now we've come into where, you know, things are overpriced. And, you know, we're in an economy now where nobody can really afford all this craziness. Not even the damn those who got money can really afford it, because they're getting hit on the back end with the taxes of it. So it's not really, really making sense to me with all of this season. Now, I'm going to segue into this. Now, Christmas and the monetary amount that folks equate Christmas with may not make sense to me. But the Kwanzaa celebration does, and I'm going to tell you why. Not because it's a black holiday or it is an African heritage-centered holiday, because this is one that is open to all. If you pay attention to the seven principles that Kwanzaa represent, those are universal principles. So it's not a black thing. This is an everybody thing to build community. But here's the thing. With Kwanzaa, it is not about the spending the money. Okay, if you're going to bring gifts, Kwanzaa actually advocates that you hand make the gifts, so that it is a gesture of love and brings about unity and everything. So that when the children receive these, they're personalized. You know, it is something. Remember how we used to be with kids and we made these cards and things for our moms and, you know, the damn construction paper necklaces and all of that? Well, all of that, because we made it and took our time. We had, you know, the little, when we took all the elbow macaroni and glued it onto the little cigar boxes and things and colored it to make sure it was a cutesy little box and it was my mama's favorite color. And see, those kinds of gifts, they meant something. You know, and before we had a fire, my mother still had all of those things because her babies gave it to them, you know. And that there is the same sentiment behind a lot of what Kwanzaa is about. It's about the celebration and bringing the love and the harmony back into our culture and back into the celebration. And I wonder how many of us are going to celebrate Kwanzaa this year. If not all seven principles, at least one day, to where you connect and understand what it is. A lot of folks, you know, really want to think that, oh, I got to go buy, you know, African attire and this, that, and the other. And, you know, they want to get Afrocentric. Our Caucasian brothers and sisters don't know it. You know, a lot of them shy away from it because they think it's only a black holiday. Then you have some folks who will teach it or only have Kwanzaa celebrations in safe spaces only for black folks, you know. And how do we get the information out there, or how do we learn activate the seven principles of Kwanzaa if we don't teach it to everyone. You know what I'm saying? So with that, you know, Kwanzaa, and I like that it starts the day after Christmas. Okay, Kwanzaa starts December 26th and goes into New Year's Day. So each day has a different principle. Now, I'm not going to get all into all of that right now because, of course, as I'm learning it, I don't have all of the principles, and shame on me, you know. But I'm going to implore that everyone within the sound of my voice and whoever comes back into the archives, if you know, pick this up in the archives, to go and to Google Kwanzaa, learn about the seven principles, and learn how it's not just a once-a-year thing. The seven principles are year-round. It's about the harvest. It's about the planting of the seed. It's about doing, building the community. It's about self-determination. I love that because I was back in 2002 for Kwanzaa. I was rebirthed, if you will, and I was given an African name. My African name is Osegi Kokai Nantando, and it breaks down because I was the firstborn child, and it shows that I have a lot of love for people and understanding for the community and things. And there's another meaning that also goes with that. I have to relook at my certificate, but I use that name sparingly, but I'm going to start picking it back up again. But nonetheless, the whole self, I like self-determination because that gives us the right to say, and empowers us to be able to move forward, to say what I will and won't put up with, to say who I am and who I'm going to be. It empowers us to want to move forward and to be our very, very best and not settle for second best. You know what I'm saying? And see, that's a principle of Kwanzaa that is not just a black thing. That's an everybody thing. Gay, straight, black, white, tall, thin, fat, short, you know, that's an everybody concept. And that's just one, Kujichagulia, that's self-determination. That's day number two. So just imagine, you know, if we can all understand what that means. I think Umoja is, I said I wasn't going to do this because I don't know all of them, right? But I like the one that's cooperative economics, and that is learning how to shop within your community and building up your community and things. You know, it's not just a black thing. Of course, we encourage black businesses, but look at your neighborhoods. Some of the stores within your neighborhoods are poor because you don't shop in your neighborhoods to get the money to filter back in there. You don't go out there to clean up your grass or whatever, or, you know, you see somebody having problems, you don't help them out. And that's why the neighborhoods get so run down and the property values go down. So, see, these principles are principles of they're universal. So I encourage all of you. I've been telling everybody, you know, they say happy holidays. I say, yes, happy holidays to you too, but get your Kwanzaa on. You know, understand what that means so that we can start to build that, especially in this economy. And then with us having an African-skinned president, I like saying that because he's biracial, but yet, of course, because he has black skin, everybody want to call him that he's just a black president, but he's African-skinned. And in this particular day and age, it would behoove us to want to embrace that because it's part of the grassroots effort that he wants to, that he is from and what he advocates during his administration. So let's see, back over here in the tea room. Yes, Hot Boy 1800. Yes, kids don't do that kind of stuff like that anymore. No, they don't. As far as the crafts and stuff, no. Why should they? Because everything now is about iPods. It's about all of this other little bullshit that they do that has nothing to do with nothing. You know, they get on the computer, they play these damn little hateful-ass games on the computer. Now I've seen some cute ones, you know, that's kid-friendly. But most of the ones that excite the kids are all the violent ones. You know, so this particular thing is not working, you know, and we have allowed our culture to take over and tell us what our kids will and won't like, you know. And I'm having a real bad problem with that because where do you recapture it, you know, and how do you do it? Because one person may have an idea, but, of course, like everything else, if nobody's going to support the idea, then it falls by the wayside. and it doesn't have any momentum. So for those of you who work with teenagers and young adults, you know, they have a voice that's becoming ignored because of the language. You know, the hip-hop culture, honey, has a language of its own. And as I said, I'll be 40 come March 4th, and yet I still need to wrap my hand around the language of it, because half this shit, I don't understand these kids these days. And wanting to understand them, you know, they don't have the time to want to teach it to me. You know, I don't have the patience to want to deal with their damn music because it offends me. You know, so rather than take the patience, I'm like most folks would turn away from it, although I'm getting better at it. I'm learning how to appreciate hip-hop and rap and carrying on the way I used to when it was fun back when it first started in the early 80s. We're starting to get that turnaround again with hip-hop. Okay, good news said they don't even understand what they're saying. Exactly, because it changes. So that changes at the blink of a damn eye. First we on my fascism, my nizzle, and then it done changed to something else. I'm like, what the hell is a fascism, nizzle? Yeah, okay, honey. You know, go back to cool, honey. That was cool. Okay, oh, that was fresh. That was bad. That was on the money. You know, yeah, which she says, good news in the teacher room says, kids say things because it sounds cute. You know, I have to agree with you on that. But it's not just kids, because, see, I think what has happened is we get a lot of things that has become fused. We get a lot of cultures that have become fused, because hip-hop culture has fused itself with gay culture in a lot of different areas. Because just like you said, you know, kids say stuff because it's cute. But gay folks have been doing that for the longest. And straight folks have been wanting to find a vernacular that's just as hip, just as quick, just as witty, without it sounding as if, you know, it's quote-unquote too gay for them or whatever. So, yeah, you're right. They will say something because it sounds cute. They got a little catchphrase, you know, and it can become their own little catchphrase, if you will. And then it picks up, you know, and just explodes like a piece of dynamite. And then the next thing we know, it's inoculated into everybody's vocabulary until the next cute little saying sound, you know, come out or whatever. So what you said, but gay stuff does sound cute. Hell, it's supposed to. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? I don't know if it's supposed to or not, but I would buy it. You know, most of the time it's out of defense. You know, it's out of defense. And it's for the key of it all. You know, just to put egg on your face, because, you know, and then well, that's when, you know, we're sitting up there playing the dozens back and forth. But then when you're just sitting down talking, more so is to make a point. You know, I always say that laughter is God's best medicine, okay, because laughter kills the poison. And one of the things about gay culture is that we have monopolized in that, you know, a lot, more so than our other counterparts, because a lot of the things we've had to laugh it off as a defense mechanism so that egg wouldn't be on our face. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. So, it is, you know, I think I could buy that to a point. You know, yeah, which is a hell it's supposed to. That's cute. Hot boy, you say what? I think hip-hop steals from gay culture just like rock stole from the blues. Okay, I could buy that. I'll buy that, Vanna White. By that vow, yeah, you know, because once again, and this is just my theory, and I want somebody to challenge it, you know, the whole idea of it, you know, I believe it's just the yin and the yang of it, because just with everything has a spectrum. So if gay culture has its, you know, cutesiness, you know, then the straight culture has to have it on the other end of it. You know what I mean? Because one thing I do believe is that the universe is balanced, and there's going to be perfect balance somewhere. So I would believe that. I would believe that. Good news, what you say, if it fits in, it fits in the correct place. Okay, yeah, it does. So, but that's just the thing. When it's in the right spot. See, a lot of these little sayings and stuff come out of the blue, and it throws everybody off, and then everybody get the, move the needle from the record kind of reaction, because it comes from left field, and nobody understands what's going on. Hence why we have a breakdown in communication. Hence why kids, are doing what they do. Hence why parents, feel as though they have to buy them everything to please them, to get them to understand this, that, and the other. Hence why, the whole holiday season has become so materialistic these days, to where you're competing. We used to compete with the Jones, but hell, you done became the Jones, and now you're competing with yourself, So that's just very, 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 very interesting, these particular days. I'm telling you, honey, I'm kind of over it. Now, here's something that I want you to consider, because I was talking about Kwanzaa, and I want you guys to consider this for next year. One of the things that goes unnoticed. okay, I'm going to come to that in a minute, hot boy. One of the things that goes so unnoticed and underappreciated and under-celebrated is Juneteenth or June 19th. For those of you who are unaware of that, Juneteenth is the actual day of the African American Independence Day. As for those of you who don't know, once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed that had freed the slaves, it was still 2 years later when Texas had gotten the news. So for the extra 2 years, our people were still enslaved in the western part of the country. And when it got to Texas that the slaves were free, it was 2 years later, and it happened to have been June 19th. And I think it's like 18-something. I think it's 1819. I don't quote the year. But y'all Google it, honey, for all of y'all who are on the computer to get my facts and to read it for yourselves. However, June 19th, or Juneteenth, as we call it, is the African-American Independence Day. July 4th ain't got shit to do with us, okay? July 4th is America's Independence Day from the Queen and all of that kind of stuff. That had nothing to do with us because we were still enslaved. Juneteenth is our Independence Day because it was finally recognized throughout the entire country that we were free. And I say that because Juneteenth and Kwanzaa both go under-celebrated. Now, here's the idea. Just like we have Christmas in July kind of celebrations, and the stores want to give you the little Christmas trees, the Christmas-like sales of this, that, and the other, I would love to do a Kwanzaa at Juneteenth, because I think that would be just a beautiful time. It's the halfway mark in the year, June to December. That June is the 6th month, December the 12th month. So we're halfway in the year, and it gives us time to reconnect with the principles of Kwanzaa. I think that would be fabulous for us to get around and to tell our stories. Back in the day, our people, y'all know that from when we were kids, our grandmama and them used to sit down and tell the stories of old and what we fought for and this, that, and the other. And I love this. When it hit me, it was just like, I felt like the Wicked Witch of the North, honey, when the house just hit, it just came down. Not the North, you know what I'm saying. When the house hit the witch and the Wizard of Oz, damn it. it hit me with that kind of force. And I have been saying it and saying it and saying it, and a lot of folks really have not bit the bug, and I guess because June has passed already and they don't see the vision. However, now that we're in Kwanzaa celebration mode now, and it's coming up, once we get through this, I would love to have that as a Juneteenth celebration, as something that we revisit to reconnect. So I'm throwing it out there to you, and I'm going to be saying this at least once a month. so that you guys could become inoculated with it, and that it saturates your mind so that you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, holla right back at you. Good news. Thank you, baby. Yes, I knew you would like that. So I think that will help to build our culture and to reconnect with some of the things. You know what I'm saying? Another thing that I would love to do, and that is introduce a principle of the month, if you will, or something, you know, and let this month be dedicated to this. But that could be an individual thing, you know, so that folks can become inoculated with seven principles and understand what each of them means and understand how this works and that works. And, yeah, so that there is part of my cultural enrichment kind of thing, you know. So, you know, I'm on the ball, honey, trust. And saying that, honey, yes, that goes back. I told you I was coming back to you, hot boy. Yes, what you say? Because you hear more straight boys saying, talking about trust now, and you know that's ours. Right. Okay, trust truly, you know. And you catch a couple of things because, like, we would say child, honey, you know, oh, child, please. And then, and the straight culture would pick up man or kid, you know, yo, kid, you know. So when that hit, honey, I said kid. I said, oh, you don't want to say child because it's too gay. Oh, I got it. Yo, what's up, son? You know, yo, child, yeah. So, you know, like I said, all of that it's a balance, and I see it that way. I don't know if other folks will, but I do see it that way. So, that there is that. Now, again, honey, we're up here. We're embracing 2010. Now, my question to you is going to be this, and I don't want to hear the. I don't want to hear the cliche stuff. You know, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to stop smoking or whatever, because all of that's cliche now. I really want you to dig deep and ask yourself, what are you going to do differently in 2010 that you did than what you did in 09? Okay. And this is all about growth and promoting yourself, you know, to, you know, we always say, oh, every time a new year comes, oh, this is my year, you know. Well, what's going to make it your year? What are you going to do differently that's going to empower you? You know, the time has come, and this is another cliche, well, you have to drop dead weight. That includes family members, that includes your friends, that includes your associates, sometimes that includes the job that you're on. If it's not working for you across the board, that means in every situation of your life, every facet of your life, if what you are doing is not working across the board, then that means it doesn't work. Because you can't be happy in one aspect and then be miserable in all the others. That's a temporary fix. Everything that you do has to make sure that it agrees with your total happiness. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. So what are you going to do this year or this coming year that's going to be different, that's going to take you to where you claim you want to go, is the question. For me, I've started when I moved down here to Atlanta. Now that I'm here, I'm going into my third year, and I had a five-year plan, okay? And part of it is done. Some of it isn't. And so now I have to reevaluate my plan. I have to step up my game to say, okay, this is what I want. Okay, this is what I want, and this is what I need to do to get it, you know? And you're right, good news. You must look at yourself, be honest, and change for the better. Self-assessment is the hardest, but the best. Yeah, it is. It is completely the hardest. When you're standing in front of that mirror, honey, don't nobody like standing in front of the mirror for long periods of time. You only want to be there long enough to see what you got to do and keep on moving. But no, it's more than just brushing your teeth and putting on your eyeliner, honey. okay? And for you men, shaving, you know, brushing your teeth and shaving. You have to look at that mirror and look at you for all of your blemishes, honey, all your pimples, all your freckles. All you have to really look at you and scrutinize everything. Because if you lie to yourself, honey, baby, you're a lost cause. If you lie to yourself, you become a lost cause. So rather than lie to yourself, be honest about it and then accept it. Because that day you have to accept it. You can't say, oh, no, that's not me, because you're looking at it. Accept it and then figure out those things that need to be changed that you don't like, that you can change. Okay, if you can change it, you have the power to change it. And it's just that simple. And it sounds very cliche, but you have the power to change it. The thing is, we get caught up because that change means that somebody not going to be there no more. Somebody, I may not have to, you know, I can't mess with them no more. I know for me, I got to get diligent with losing some of this weight. And that means that I don't want to eliminate it, but that means I'm going to have to cut down. And right now, my mind is not willing to cut down because it's holiday time. Child, please, everybody making bread pudding and banana pies, banana puddings and potato pies and all of that, and that's cute. But, hell, like I said, I'm going to be 40. Now, I look good at my weight. A lot of folks don't think I'm as big as I am because I carry it well. But my body is telling me otherwise, saying, bitch, you can't do this no more. Because I'm creaking and tearing on. Shit, my legs swell. Please, breathing on heavy, and I'm already asthmatic, so I already got a breathing problem. Then I'm going to add on top of it, shit, a bitch sitting up there said, please. My titties getting bigger. Not that that's a problem, but hell, shit, they're all to the side and slumping over. No, come on now. We, you know, that's something that I can change, and only I can do that. I don't care how many folks said, you know, tell me this, that, and the other. Only I can do that. So, and being honest about it, children, we have to look at it from those particular situations. And I'm being real like that with my own life because, hell, everybody has something that they have to do to better themselves. Self-improvement is always wonderful. If you're not learning and growing, honey, then you might as well die because there's no need. Life is about improvement and growing and change. And as long as we understand that particular lesson, honey, then we can get it. Because if you stay complacent, if you're just standing still, if you're not doing anything, if you're not going anywhere, what is the point? You become a vegetable, you know? Just plot yourself in the damn lawn, honey. Just let the wind blow you over like a blade of grass then, shit. You know? So I encourage you, you know, this holiday season, as we're going into 2009, we have a very, 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 for the first time, for the first Christmas, for the first, you know, giving holiday season, you know, the world has completely changed. The power structure has changed so fiercely it's ridiculous. And none of us know how to handle it because this is the first time, as I said. And as we all know, we have an African-skinned president with an African-American first lady and African-American children, okay? The power structure has changed. The most powerful man in the world looks like us. So with that, everything has, the whole apple cart has now been upset. To where, you know, what used to be impossible is now possible, you know. So we have to look at that. So this holiday season, as we go into the new year, and as we embrace newness, and as we get rid of the old, I ask you to look at yourself and look at yourself for real and honestly and decently and ask yourself what it is that you want to do. With yourself, with your life, how can you be the better person? How can you be a blessing to others? Because that's the thing. Your life is not yours. Your life is for somebody else to be blessed. So what are you going to do to enrich your life, to be blessed and yet be a blessing to others? That's going to be my challenge to all of you tea sippers out there. I challenge you to look into your heart and to look and listen to your soul talk, not just the preacher man or whatever. Listen to your soul talk and quiet yourself because the answers all lie within you. And once you start listening to yourself, then trusting yourself, then you're able to move forward and to be yourself, to be your true, authentic self. And once you live in truth, honey, as the cliche, the truth will set you free. So it ain't nothing like being free up in here and being totally boundless, because it is the spirit that's going to continue to live. And it's in that same spirit that you have to understand your power and your freedom. All right, we're down to 90 seconds left of the show. See, I talk entirely too damn much. I didn't even realize that. Wow, I didn't even take a call. All of that was straight off of me. Hot diggity boom, with the fact that I played one song. Because when my phone rang, I thought that might have been Christopher wanting to call in, and it wasn't him. So I had to check my phone. That's why I played the little song. But nonetheless, darlings, next week we're going to do a year in review. Okay, I'm going to encourage you to call in and to let's talk about what happened in 2009, the highs, the lows, the this and the that. And let's bring in 2010, honey, with the bang. Now, I'm going to go ahead on, because I got to go grocery shopping and things and take care of a couple of things around here, because I don't have to go to the donut factory today. Ha! So, with that, my darlings, I bid you a very, 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 very wonderful, safe, merry, merry Christmas, and happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah to my Jewish folks out there. And until we see each other, talk to each other again next week, feel free, darlings, to always dish your tea. Honey, I'm Big Meat, and I thank you for your love and your support. Again, thank you to all of my sponsors out there. And we're going to do this thing for real. So until next week, darling, I love you, and be blessed, okay? Thanks, children.
I see gay people, luscious lesbians, hunky homosexuals, delicious drag queens, celebrating culturally, discussing differences, dispelling downloads, educating everyone. I see same-sex couples holding hands and walking down the aisle. I see gay families raising kids and playing in the parks. I see them working in a world where they're judged by what's in their head instead of whether they give good head. I see gay history being taught in junior high school. I see gay teens going on their first prom date and bringing their partners home to meet the parents. I see fat femmes in over 40 getting as much freaky sex as thin masculine in under 40. I see safe sex as wearing knee pads to prevent rug burns instead of wearing condoms to prevent HIV. I see gay soap operas, gay news, and gay shows on every channel. I see he's, I see she's, I see he-she's, I see me. Then the phone rings, and I wake up from the dream.